Chapter 17. He told them he knew they were strangers to the meaning of the thing, and therefore if they would meet him the next day he would come prepared to explain himself. Accordingly they meet, when instead of a long speech they expected from him, what sort of union he meant, and with who, he brings them a thinking press, or cogitator, and setting it down, goes away without speaking one word. This hieroglyphical admonition was too plain, not to let them all into his meaning, but still as they are an obstinate people, and not a little valuing themselves upon their own knowledge and penetration, they slighted the engine, and fell to offhand surmises, guesses, and supposes. 1. Some concluded he meant to unite with the Salianarian Church, and they reflected upon his understanding, that not being the question in hand, and something remote from their intention, or the High Salianarian's desire. 2. Some meant to unite to the moderate party of the Salianarians, and this they said they had done already. At last some, being very cunning, found it out, that it must be his meaning unite one among another. And even there again they misunderstood him too, and some imagined that he meant downright rebellion, uniting power, and mobbing the whole moon, but he soon convinced them of that too. At last they took the hint, that his advice directed them to unite their subdivided parties into one general interest, and to act in concert upon one bottom, to lay aside the selfish, narrow, suspicious spirit. 3 qualifications the Crowleans were but too justly charged with, and begin to act with courage, unanimity, and largeness of soul, to open their eyes to their own interest, maintain a regular and constant correspondence with one another in all parts of the kingdom, and to bring their civil interest into a form. The author of this advice, having thus brought them to understand and approve his proposal, they demanded his assistance for making the essay, and 'tis a most wonderful thing to consider what a strange effect the alteration of their measures had upon the whole Salianarian nation. As soon as ever they had settled the methods they resolved to act in, they formed a general council of the heads of their party, to be always sitting, to reconcile differences, to unite parties, to suppress feuds in their beginning. They appointed 3 general meetings in 3 of the most remote parts of the kingdom, to be half yearly, and 1 universal meeting of persons deputed to concert matters among them in general. By that time these meetings had sat but once, and the conduct of the Council of 12 began to appear. 'Twas a wonder to see the prodigious alteration it made all over the country. Immediately a Crowleian would never buy anything but of a Crowleian, would hire no servants, employ neither porter nor carman, but what were Crowleians. The Crowleians in the country, that wrought and managed the manufactures, would employ nobody but Crowleian spinners, Crowleian weavers, and the like. In their capital city the merchandising Crowleians would freight no ships but, of which the owners and commanders were Crowleians. They call it all their cash out of the Salianarian bank, and as the act of the Cortes confirming the bank then in being seemed to be their support, they made it plain, that cash and credit will make a bank without a public settlement of law, and without these all the laws in the moon, will never be able to support it. They brought all their running cash into one bank, and settled a sub-cash depending upon the grand bank in every province of the kingdom, in which, by a strict correspondence and crediting their bills, they might be able to settle a paper credit over the whole nation. They went on to settle themselves in all sorts of trade in open companies, and sold off their interests in the public stocks then in trade. If the government wanted a million of money upon any emergency, they were ready to lend it as a body, not by different sums and private hands blended together with their enemies, but as will appear at large presently, it was only Crowleian money, and pass it as such. Nor were the consequences of this new model less considerable than the proposer expected. For the Crowleans being generally of the trading manufacturing part of the world, and very rich, the influence this method had upon the common people, upon trade, and upon the public, was very considerable every way. 1. All the Salianarian tradesmen and shopkeepers were at their wits' end. They sat in their shops, and had little or nothing to do, while the shops of the Crolians were full of customers, and their people over head and ears in business. This turned many of the Salianarian tradesmen quite off of the hooks, and they began to break and decay strangely, till at last a great many of them, to prevent their utter ruin, turned Crolians on purpose to get a trade. And what forwarded that part of it was, that when a Salianarian, who had little or no trade before, came but over to the Crolians, immediately everybody come to trade with him, and his shop would be full of customers, so that this presently increased the number of the Crolians. 2. The poor people in the countries, carters, spinners, weavers, knitters, and all sorts of manufacturers, run in crowds to the Crolian temples for fear of being starved, for the Crolians were two-thirds of the masters or employers in the manufactures all over the country, and the poor would have been starved and undone if they had cast them out of work. Thus infinitely the Crolians increased their number. 3. The Crolians, being men of vast cash, they no sooner withdrew their money from the general bank, but the bank languished. Credit sunk, and in a short time they had little to do but dissolve it, of course. One thing remained which people expected would have put a check to this undertaking, and that was a way of trading in classes, or societies, much like our East India Companies in England, and these depending upon public privileges granted by the Queen of the country, or her predecessors. Nobody could trade to those parts but the persons who had those privileges. The cunning Crolians, who had great stocks in those trades, and foresaw they could not trade by themselves without the public grant or charter, contrived a way to get almost all that capital trade into their hands as follows. They concerted matters, and all at once fell to selling off their stock, giving out daily reports that they would be no longer concerned, that it was a losing trade, that the fund at bottom was good for nothing, and that of two societies the old one had not 20% to divide, all their debts being paid, that the new society had traded several years, but if they were dissolved could not say that they had got anything, and that this must be a cheat at last, and so they resolved to sell. By this artifice, they daily offering to sale, and yet in all their discourse discouraging the thing they were to sell, nobody could be found to buy. The offering a thing to sale and no bidders is a certain never failing prospect of a lowering the price. From this method, therefore, the value of all the banks, companies, societies, and stocks in the country fell to be little or nothing worth, and that was to be bought for 40 or 45 linarians, that was formerly sold at 150, and so in proportion of all the rest. All this while the Crolians employed their emissaries to buy up privately all the interest or shares in these things that any of the Salianarian party would sell. This plot took readily, for these gentlemen exposing the weakness of these societies, and running down the value of their stocks, and at the same time warily buying at the lowest prices, not only in time got possession of the whole trade, with their grants, privileges, and stocks, but got into them at a prodigiously low and despicable price. They had no sooner thus wormed them out of the trade, and got the greatest part of the effects in their own hands, and consequently the whole management, but they run up the price of the funds again as high as ever, and lauded the folly of those that sold out. Nor could the other people make any reflections upon the honesty of the practice, for it was no original, but had its birth among the Salianarians themselves, of whom three or four had frequently made a trade of raising and lowering the funds of the societies by all the clandestine contrivances in the world, and had ruined abundance of families to raise their own fortunes and estates. One of the greatest merchants, and the moon raised himself by this method to such a height of wealth, that he left all his children married to grandees, dukes, and great folks, and from a mechanic original, they are now ranked among the Lunarian nobility, while multitudes of ruined families helped to build his fortune, by sinking under the knavery of his contrivance. His brother in the same iniquity, being at this time a man of the feather, has carried on the same intriguing trade with all the face and front imaginable. It has been nothing with him to persuade his most intimate friends to sell, or buy, just as he had occasion for his own interest to have it rise, or fall, and so to make his own market of their misfortune. Thus he has twice raised his fortunes, for the House of Feathers demolished him once, and yet he has by the same clandestine management worked himself up again. This civil way of robbing houses, for I can esteem it no better, was carried on by a middle sort of people, called in the moon Blaudegondigers, which signifies men with two tongues, or in English, stock-jobbing brokers. These had formerly such an unlimited power, and were so numerous, that indeed they governed the whole trade of the country. No man knew when he bought or sold, for though they pretended to buy and sell, and manage for other men whose stocks they had very much at command, yet nothing was more frequent than when they bought a thing cheap, to buy it for themselves, if dear, for their employer. If they were to sell, if the price rise, it was sold, if it fell, it was unsold. And by this art, nobody got any money but themselves, that at last, excepting the two capital men we spoke of before, these governed the prices of all things, and nothing could be bought or sold to advantage, but throw their hands, and as the profit was prodigious, their number increased accordingly, so that business seemed engrossed by these men, and they governed the main articles of trade. This success, and the imprudence of their conduct, brought great complaints against them to the government, and a law was made to restrain them, both in practice and number. This law has in some measure had its effect. The number is not only lessened, but by chance some honester men than usual are got in among them, but they are so very, very, very few, hardly enough to save a man's credit, that shall vouch for them. Nay, some people that pretend to understand their business better than I do, having been of their number, have affirmed, it is impossible to be honest in the employment. I confess when I began to search into the conduct of these men, at least of some of them, I found there were abundance of black stories, to be told of them, a great deal known, and a great deal more unknown. For they were from the beginning continually encroaching into all sorts of people and societies, and in conjunction with some that were not qualified by law, but merely voluntarily, call it in the moon by a hard long word, in English signifying projectors these erected stocks in shadows, societies in nubibus, and bought and sold mere vapor, wind, emptiness, and bluster for money, till they drew people in to lay out their cash, and then lauded them. Thus they erected paper societies, linen societies, sulfur societies, copper societies, glass societies, sham banks, and a thousand mock whimsies, to hook unwary people in, at last sold themselves out, left the bubble to float a little in the air, and then vanish of itself. The other sort of people go on after all this. And though these projectors began to be out of fashion, they always found one thing or other to amuse and deceive the ignorant, and went jobbing on into all manner of things, public as well as private, whether the revenue, the public funds, loans, annuities, bearskins, or anything. Nay, they were once grown to that extravagant height, that they began to stock-job the very feathers of the Consolidator, and in time the kings employing those people might have had what feathers they had occasion for, without concerning the proprietors of the lands much about them. 'Tis true this began to be notorious, and received some check in a former meeting of the feathers. But even now, when I came away, the 3 years expiring, and my course a new consolidator being to be built, they were as busy as ever. Bidding, offering, procuring, buying, selling, and jobbing of feathers to who bid most, and notwithstanding several late wholesome and strict laws against all manner of collusion, bribery and clandestine methods in the countries procuring these feathers. Never was the moon in such an uproar about picking and culling the feathers, such bribery, such drunkenness, such cabaling, especially among the high Salianarian clergy and the Lasagnians, such feasting, fighting and distraction, as the like has never been known. And that which is very remarkable, all this not only before the old consolidator was broke up, but even while it was actually whole and in use. Had this hurry been to send up good feathers, there had been the less to say, but that which made it very strange to me was, that where the very worst of all the feathers were to be found, there was the most of this wicked work, and though it was bad enough everywhere, yet the greatest bustle and contrivance was in order, to send up the worst feathers they could get. And indeed some pluses such sorry, scoundrel, empty, husky, withered, decayed feathers were offered to the proprietors, that I have sometimes wondered anyone could have the impudence to send up such ridiculous feathers to make a consolidator, which, as is before observed, is an engine of such beauty, usefulness, and necessity. And still in all my observation, this note came in my way, there was always the most bustle and disturbance about the worst feathers. It was really a melancholy thing to consider, and had this lunar world been my native country, I should have been full of concern to see that one thing, on which the welfare of the whole nation so much depended, put in so ill a method, and gotten into the management of such men, who for money would certainly have set up such feathers, that wherever the consolidator should be formed, it would certainly overset the first voyage. And if the whole nation should happen to be embarked in it, on the dangerous voyage to the moon, the fall would certainly give them such a shock, as would put them all into confusion, and open the door to the Galleonarian, or any foreign enemy to destroy them. It was really strange, that this should be the case, after so many laws, and so lately made, against it. But in this, those people are too like our people in England, who have the best laws the worst executed of any nation under heaven. For in the moon this hurry about choosing of feathers was grown to the greatest haste imaginable, as if it encreased by the very laws that were made to suppress it. For now at a certain public place, where the Blaudegondigers used to meet every day, anybody that had but money enough might buy a feather at a reasonable rate, and never. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.